You have a special invitation. The Let's Face the Issues Rally is Thursday, July 1st from 5:45 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. Don't miss the meet and greet with refreshments and light food. Then hear Dr. Jean A. Youngblood, host of Let's Face the Issues, speak. There will also be several other speakers and regular guests of his daily radio program. The speakers will discuss social, spiritual, and political issues. And you are invited to join in the discussion during the question and answer session before a live audience. The Let's Face the Issues rally is Thursday, July 1st from 5:45 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. at the Salem Center Auditorium, the home of this radio station, 7235 Bentley Road, formerly Bonneville Road, just east of Highway 1 Phillips Highway. Seating is limited, so please arrive early to get a seat for the Let's Face the Issues rally, Thursday, July 1st.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're asking the question or making the statement, our increasingly unrecognizable America. Do you see that? Does this sound hyped in any fashion, or is it real? What do you see taking place in our nation today? Or is it that you simply have blinders on and not looking at the real picture, as Franklin Graham suggested in his article on June the 15th? He says America is under attack within. Godless socialism and communism are threatening our way of life in this country, and the inroads already made are shocking. Even though no one has fired a shot, the battle is raging, and we'd better wake up before it's too late, he warned in his social media account. It's like some people have blinders on and don't see the dangers of what is coming down the road. Does that identify where you are? Do you believe that we have the dangers coming down the road? Do you believe they're attacking our morals and ethics and values? Well, ladies and gentlemen, looking at an article here, says, stunner. Judge says state can force Christians to violate their religious beliefs. Dateline June 16th. The article reads, a Colorado judge has stunningly ruled that an artist's creation, that artist's creations are not speech at all, and that the state is allowed to force the baker to violate his own religious beliefs in order to submit to the demands of the transgendered activist. The ruling from A. Bruce Jones, a judge in the state's second district court, judicial court, came in a lawsuit brought by Autumn Scandla, S-C-A-R-D-N-A, a lawyer who was born a man and now lives as a woman. He demanded a cake from Jack Phillips' Masterpiece Cake Shop in Denver suburban area. He wanted a pink and blue cake to mark his transition to a woman. Phillips is the baker who earlier was attacked under Colorado anti-discrimination law for discriminating, or for declining, that is, to provide a wedding cake for the same-sex duo. A state commission publicly excoriated him for his faith and linked him likened him to a Nazi, an act that ultimately brought the rebuke from the U.S. Supreme Court for his hostility to his faith. The court decided the case in favor of Phillips 7-2. Critical to that decision was the fact that evidence revealed that when homosexual bakers, listen to this, when homosexual bakers in Colorado were asked to create a cake condemning homosexuality, they refused on the grounds that it was a message that they could not support. The state supported their refusal. Yet Phillips is to undergo re-indoctrination because he wanted the same control over his message. And the judge's opinion was that Colorado law and its demands on artist speech, quote, does not infringe on the defendant's religious exercises. Alliance Defending Freedom counsel Christine Wagoner has fought on behalf of Phillips for nearly 10 years since he was first attacked in his same-sex wedding cake decision that was appealed. Phillips serves all the people, but should not be forced to create custom cakes with messages that violate his conscience, this article says. And that's exactly right. But that's taking place, ladies and gentlemen, across America. That case and one other case, one of a lady by the name of Bunnell Stutzman in Portland, Oregon, was a florist. And for 10 years, they've been fighting with Bunnell Stutzman because she refused to make a floral arrangement for a sodomite couple. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is not just an everyday, just not just an occurrence that happens occasionally. It's an everyday occurrence across America where our rights and our liberties and our freedoms are being foreclosed upon. It's changing the landscape of the morals, the ethics, and the values in our great nation, ladies and gentlemen. Jack Phillips, Masterpiece Cake Shop, Masterpiece Cake Shop there in Colorado, has been persecuted and prosecuted now for almost 10 years. And may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at an article that says, the vice of Christian speech is tightening, and that's what we see taking place in our great nation today. And if you've not noticed that, then you're asleep, or as Franklin Graham said, you've got blinders on. I believe we have Lily on the line. Go with the question or comment, please.
Yes, thank you very much, Dr. Youngblood, and God bless you for what you're doing. I am in full agreement that America has reached a dangerous state where it is in decline and going, and I'm fully convinced that the pastors, the church, had to be abandon the responsibility to get us where we are. I see America has really been playing, toying with the enemy, dangerous, giving place to the enemy, as the Bible says we shouldn't give place to the enemy. And right now, it's like the forces of hell, the powers of darkness, is overshadowing, has taken over fully, before our eyes. And what we're looking at, the churches, the church had to abandon its responsibility, abandon the Bible, because how could a pastor in his right mind view issues like sodomite lifestyle or murdering infants? How could a pastor regard such issues as political and decide to stay away from them, not to touch them with a long stick because they are political, and by abandoning? Let me just close by saying, John the Baptist didn't turn a blind eye and abandon what was going on in his culture. He spoke out, and he lost his head, and fear is one of the things. Our pastors, our churches became too political, and then fear has overruled that. They're afraid to speak out, abandoned, and now the enemy has moved in, the enemy has taken control. God only knows what is the answer, if we really, you know, but we are fast track, as you say, to losing our freedom completely. Thank you very much.
Lily, you're exactly right, and thank you so much for your input. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not just that pastors have abandoned and Christians have abandoned the truth of the Word of God and the stand that we need to take. We need to speak the truth in love. We need to confront sin in love, and we need to do so that those that are involved in, for example, the sodomite lifestyle and otherwise, that we might confront them with the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ and not embrace and celebrate their sodomite lifestyle. And yet we find just about all, if not all, denominations, mainline denominations across America today have embraced some form of the sodomite lifestyle, the LGBTQ agenda. In fact, with the Southern Baptist Convention that just met this past week, in fact, they concluded their meeting yesterday, they have further embraced the critical race theory. They further embraced the LGBTQ mindset. It's being low-key downplayed. But that's exactly what they've done. Rather than losing numbers of nickels and noses, they say that they want to enlarge the tent and get in larger numbers of the younger age group. And they even admitted in the Wall Street Journal issue that I read a portion of on yesterday's broadcast, they even admit that with the younger generation, that they embrace the LGBTQ lifestyle, they embrace the critical race theory, and yet that's being embraced now by the Southern Baptist Convention as an entire denomination. So how can we expect pastors, how can we expect preachers in the pulpits across denominational lines to take a public stand against that which is unbiblical when the denomination of which they represent is embracing that very same sin, that very same declension that's destroying our nation today? This is the reason we're watching an increasingly unrecognizable America, because we're watching the demise morally, ethically, and biblically because of the unwillingness of Christians, pastors in the pulpits, Christians in general, to take a stand. Somehow, some way, there's a mindset that we need to be loved by everybody, that we need to embrace everybody's lifestyle, that we need to say, come on, and let's not lose the numbers, nickels, and noses. Let's all just be happy together. And ladies and gentlemen, that's destroying the moral fabric, the warp and the woof of our society. That's the absolute fabric of our life and living. We need to recognize the dangers of that, ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been told a big lie. And as a result of that, somehow, some way, we're allowing Big Brother to come in and control. There's the growing sense that every citizen must comply with every rule, every wish, every regulation, every executive order which is given by the Biden administration. Have you noticed that? The mindset is, if the Biden administration, by fiat, by executive order, makes a whimsical decision that everybody in America needs to bow and to bend and to be in subjection to that. And I don't find that any place in the Word of God. This article I'm looking at now says, the communist takeover of America is happening in real time. As a result, America totally is virtually unrecognizable from a year ago. Democrat leaders have stood idly by or actually contributed to the atmosphere of hatred and chaos, both in their rhetoric and policy proposals. The new administration, Joe Biden, has reversed every single successful policy of the Trump administration that brought unprecedented economic revitalization across America and stemmed the flow of illegal immigration. Today, there's an unprecedented illegal immigration crisis at the southern border, deliberately instigated by the Biden administration and the Democrats. Prices are rising. The Biden administration's economic policies threaten to kill millions of jobs. Meanwhile, poisonous critical race theory and Black Lives Matter rhetoric is being mainstreamed into our public school curriculum, teaching children to hate America, to hate one another. And at the same time, those same children are being indoctrinated to believe that they can change sexual identity at will. It's in some cases without parental permission. The entire world seems to be going insane. And if this trend is not reversed, our nation and the world will face a cataclysmic event that is biblical in proportion, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 831-0917. I'd love to hear from you. 831-0917, 831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can entertain your question, your comment, your dialogue and discussion. Do you feel that we're watching an increasingly greater, unrecognizable change in America? Is that your opinion? Do you think that this is on target or off base? What are your thoughts? What are you seeing? What have you had to happen in your life that would cause you to think otherwise? Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at an article that says, sending your son to college, is the vaccination risk worth it? And we're talking about now the government saying what you need to do. Government said everybody needs to be vaccinated to get the jab, as it is now so flippantly called. It is a scientific experimental drug. It's not a real vaccination. And there are many schools today across America, from kindergarten through college and university, that's now saying that your child must be stabbed or jabbed. The vaccination must take place or they can't go to school. This article says many young Americans and their parents believe that college degree is the key to open door to a successful future. So when they get a letter from a college or university administration saying you must get the injection or you're barred from your campus, they rush to comply. After all, vaccinations are safe and effective, and you've already had dozens of them. So what's one more? Our vigilant and world-renowned scientific and health agencies would never allow an unsafe product to be authorized, would they? The National Institutes of Health, NIH, Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, and Food and Drug Administration would never miss a safety signal or lie to us, would they? Look at the thousands of regulations they've imposed on us and the warning labels on everything from plastic bags to table salt. See the signs in the liquor store section warning pregnant women not to take a sip lest their baby be harmed. Now, one of the world's most respected and widely published cardiologists, Dr. Peter McCullough, calls attention to the 800-plus reported, by the way, it's 899, 800 reported cases of COVID jab myocarditis, which is a heart inflammation, most in young men. Dr. McCullough thinks many of them will develop heart failure in the future in their later years. Ladies and gentlemen, the government says it. Doesn't that settle it? If the government says it, ought we not just simply bow in submission? Why is it there needs to be a rebuttal to what the government is saying? It's simply because, ladies and gentlemen, we're watching the fundamental change. If the government can say, close the doors of the churches, and they did. If the government can say, close your business, and most did. If the government can control how many hymn books you can have in a church or how often you can sing or if you can sing or if you wear a mask, if you wear one mask, two masks, three masks or more, if the government can control that, they literally control the future destination and trajectory of our great nation. Here's an article that says, no vaccination, no college. Physicians group urges students to fight back, refuse the vaccination, they say. That's exactly what I say to you also, ladies and gentlemen. Here's an article that says, will COVID lawsuit lead to indictments? Several lawsuits have been filed to stop employers from firing employees who refuse to take one of those experimental gene editing, total life-changing, technologically different injections, as well as the use of the PCR test. Those experimental injections are still in clinical studies. None are FDA approved, which doesn't mean much when looking at the disastrous a number of dead or permanently disabled from the drugs, the vaccinations approved by the FDA in the past. Those shots were authorized for emergency use only. There never was an emergency use COVID-19. Granted, some hospitals in places like New York City were overwhelmed, just like in 2018 during the deadliest influenza season ever, but the country wasn't shut down. Hysteria was whipped up by the prostitute media, career criminals, and Anthony Fauci with the World Health Organization, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in a desperate condition in our nation today when the government can force schools through the school system and through businesses to force individuals to get a vaccination, to force them to submit and to succumb to what would be in the future major health problems. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't have the COVID pass, we're on the fast track for that COVID pass being introduced as required. Listen very carefully. Right now, the COVID vaccination is a governmentally approved experimental drug. They're saying by October, November of this year, it will have met the trial stages for the FDA then to give it full-fledged approval. Once it is fully FDA approved, ladies and gentlemen, you watch what I'm telling you. The federal government will require every citizen in America to have the COVID pass. The COVID pass will only be issued if you've been fully vaccinated. And without that COVID pass, you'll not be able to buy, sell, trade, or do anything in the realm of business. In fact, they will utilize that to force churches to require you to have a COVID pass to go to church. Some ignoramuses in some denominations, in some churches, are doing that today. They're separating the audience, separating the congregation to the vaccinated and the non-vaccinated with a major separation between them. In fact, some churches are saying, are putting the notice out to their membership that if you're not vaccinated, you worship online, you cannot come to church. Ladies and gentlemen, we bought the lie in general. We are buying the lie in general across the nation today. And ladies and gentlemen, we must remember that Karl Marx said, to change a nation and to make a nation a communist nation, you must dethrone God, you must divide society, and destroy the nuclear family. And we see that taking place today. America's on the fast track for the overthrow of our constitutional republic. The public is not being told that almost 6,000 deaths and more than a quarter million serious side effects as a result of those who've taken the experimental shot. As a result of taking that vaccination, so-called. Here's an article that says, mandatory vaccination policy lawsuit. Nurses take a shot against the hospital, but judge jabs back, end quote. This article dated June the 15th, many workplace leaders have been wondering, can we require employees to get the COVID-19 vaccination as a condition of employment? According to a recent Ogletree Dinkins benchmarking survey, most employers are not ready to implement mandatory vaccination policies. And it goes further in talking about the background of that. But ladies and gentlemen, there's a lawsuit that has just been kicked out of court where 117 employees in a Houston hospital, where the judge said that they did not have standing and could not relieved of the requirement to be vaccinated. I find it antithetical to anything that would be called truth. This article says employees sue Houston Hospital over mandatory COVID vaccination policy, but the judge dismisses the lawsuit. Ladies and gentlemen, this article says Judge Hughes addressed Bridges' argument that mandatory COVID vaccination policy would force the employees to violate the law, saying they received COVID vaccinations is not an illegal act. The Texas judge also decided against the employees' argument that they were being coerced by the Houston hospital. Ladies and gentlemen, we're setting the stage. We're setting the precedence by the judge's decision. They have now fast-tracked that to the U.S. Supreme Court. So sometimes probably in the fall, the U.S. Supreme Court would hear that case, but by then it will be too late because 117 nurses have been fired because they and the medical profession themselves, they say that they're fearful of what they're putting in their bodies and what it will do to their DNA and what it will do in changing their life and or killing them. And they're in the medical profession, and that's their position on it. But ladies and gentlemen, the new world order is being put in place, and Joe Biden is the key proponent of that new world order philosophy. It's the global reset, as some are calling it. And ladies and gentlemen, it is the cognitively depleted Joe Biden that's in control at the helm in the Oval Office. Let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. If you'd like to jump in these last few minutes with your dialogue and discussion, with your input, we'd love to hear from you. Do you feel that some of these things that I'm saying are incorrect? Do you like to challenge them? Do you believe they're correct? What are you seeing in relationship to watching our increasingly unrecognizable America as we're living in today? Here's an article that says, Biden gets confused, struggles to speak for 28 seconds. Now, I don't know if you watched any of his G7 meetings and his summit meeting with Putin, where he had previously said Putin was a killer. And then at the meeting prior to his going into supposed to be a five-hour meeting with Putin, he spent barely 2 hours in the meeting and emerged from the meeting. He ran out of talking points. In fact, if you watched any of the news that reported it, the Communist Network News has not shown it, but Joe Biden had a fistful of talking points typed out very neatly, said presidential talking points, and when he was fiddling with the cards in his hands, the camera picked up and was able to read about four or five of his talking points, where his major talking points were to be somehow, some way to eviscerate and to disavow former President Donald J. Trump. And that was his talking points. But in this article, it says he was confused. I watched that, ladies and gentlemen. He sat there at the table. He started making a statement, held his hand up, pointing to somebody with some mumbo jumbo. And then he went completely off track. He lost his freaking mind for a few minutes and didn't know what he was saying. This article is dated June the 15th. It says, Biden gets confused, struggles to speak for 28 seconds. Ladies and gentlemen, when you're speaking, when you're standing before people, 28 seconds is a very long, long time. President Joe Biden brain malfunctioned for 28 awkward seconds on Tuesday while he spoke at the European Union summit in Brussels, just a day before he is scheduled to sit down with Russian President Vladimir Putin in Geneva. Biden was addressing a room full of EU leaders about the country coming back when his comment slipped into utter nonsense for roughly a half minute. The president expressed gratitude for the G7 in Cornwall, England, this past weekend and thanked those who had accompanied him to Europe. When he became what began as a lucid but boring conference soon became a wreck when Joe Biden's brain inexplicably misfired. And oh, I've said before, and I apologize, I do repeat, National Security Advisor, I'm leaving out some people here. I apologize. I'm going to get in trouble with my people. But anyway, we'll get back to that in a minute. Biden said in a video tweeted to the House Republicans, there is, and he goes on with his mumbling for a total of 28 full seconds. Ladies and gentlemen, the man is not cognitively able to run the nation, much less go to a G7 summit and speak. He literally, in one of his moments of cognitive disability, he was literally laughed at by the world leaders until Boris Johnson had to call their attention to that and get them to quiet down. Here's an article that says, watch, there's a video on this. Here are the anti-Trump talking points on Biden's flashcards in England. It goes on to elucidate and to illuminate our thinking as to what Biden had before him, and that's the only way he could speak. But ladies and gentlemen, what we're seeing taking place, it's changing the absolute style of America to an unrecognizable state, one of those things being the critical race theory. Most of you have heard that. Most of you don't realize that it's a Marxist approach to divide a nation. The critical race theory is not about skin tonation. It's about the Marxist agenda. And I'm saddened to see any denomination, any major denominational convention, take the position of embracing the critical race theory. But yet that's been done across America with every mainline denomination. It's being forced in all of our schools. And ladies and gentlemen, hear me well, it is absolutely increasingly causing America to be unrecognizable when you say that you're going to divide the people by race and make fun of and demean those of one race over against another. I thought we were beyond that. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining on this broadcast today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1/2 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 9:45 p.m. for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.